Welcome. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, we're live. I'll give you a second to hop on. Tonight's going to be a good one. Pretty soon we'll set it up where I can see the comments, and then we could all just like interact. Have a little family, a YouTube family reunion every single time. Tonight's going to be a good night. Tonight will be the best part of your day. Tonight, we're talking about faith power. I titled this Faith Power because faith produces power in your life. Miracle working power, cancer removing power, disease eradicating power, devil dominating power. Faith accesses the power of God for every situation of your life. In fact, faith is the master key in the kingdom of God that unlocks every single door. Go ahead, like, share this on Facebook. Get this out because this is going to help people tonight. I really believe God's going to heal people tonight through this broadcast. We've had it happen before. Anytime you preach on faith or the Holy Spirit or the power of God or anything like that, people will get healed, lives will be changed. You can't preach the Word of God with faith in your heart and with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit not act on it and produce miracles, signs, and wonders in your life. And the laying on of hands is not the only way that you can receive a miracle. In fact, one of the best ways to receive a miracle is just from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. When you believe the Word of God in your heart, it opens the doorway to the miracle-working power of God flowing into your life. Now, if you only believe what the Word says about the laying on of hands, then that'll be the only way that you could receive from God. But I'll tell you this. The best times that I've ever received from God, the best impartations or miracles or whatever that I've received from God have come in my life from just directly from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and prayer. I've received through the laying on of hands. I've received in services. But the most that I've ever received was directly from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God. Because you have to be able to receive directly from God without looking to a man for your miracle. God spoke to Bishop David Oyedepo one day and he said, "My son David, can you look up and look down simultaneously with your eyes?" And he tried it and it didn't work. And he said, in the same way, you can't look both to God and to man for your provision. So there are preachers that are anointed that preach the Word of God and have signs and wonders, but that's just because they allow the Holy Ghost to work through them and to preach through their words. But it's God that provides miracles. It's God that where the power comes from. The power of God is the Holy Spirit. The Word without the Holy Spirit is powerless. Words are containers that carry spiritual power. And so when the Word of God carries in it, it's imbibed in it, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Word of God comes out of a minister's mouth that's anointed, and it comes from his Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is imbibed in those words. And when those words get into your spirit, they produce the substance of faith that produces your miracle. So let's get into it tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about faith, and we're going to talk. You can talk about faith for 40 messages in a row. So we'll do the best we can. But first, open up to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the reason we're starting out with this verse is because the number one goal of a Christian is to make it to heaven and to please God with his life. Everybody has one life to live, and then you have to stand before God and give an account to the way that you lived your life. And the Bible says that without faith, you cannot please God. That faith is the fundamental element, the foundational element for your ability to please God and to live a life that's pleasing to God. The Bible says that anything that does not come from faith is a sin. And there's a reason for that. So faith pleases God. And why is that? Well, it has to do with what faith is. So now let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So faith is something that's a spiritual substance. That means that in the spiritual realm, if you have faith, there's a material substance that exists. And that faith is placed in something or someone. And you see, faith is placed in two things. Faith is placed in the Word of God, but even more important than that, faith is placed in the character of God. So faith is the fundamental thing that exists in your relationship with God. That's why it says without faith it's impossible to please him. For anybody that would come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. So you have to first believe that God exists and that you could have a relationship with him. And then you have to believe that he's a rewarder. Well, how do you have a relationship with God? You have to have faith in Jesus. And then you have to have faith in the blood of Jesus that tore the veil from top to bottom, that gave you access to the person of the Holy Spirit. So faith, you can't even come to God without faith. But in order to come to him, you have to believe in his character. So faith is placed in the character of God. You have to believe that God is, and that he is who he says he is. So the key fundamental aspect of faith is that it's placed in God and it's placed in his word. This is why Numbers 23:19, I think it's 19, says this. It says, God says this about himself. He said, I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should change my mind. And he said, have I promised and will I not fulfill? Have I spoken a thing and will I not make it good? So God is establishing the fact that he's not like man where they could say something and then change their mind because they get in a position where they can't uphold their word. That God's character is steadfast. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that because of his character, the words that he speaks, the promises he speaks, come to pass. And the word, and because of his character and how it's from everlasting, the same, that every word that he speaks is steadfast forever. You see, God's character is so steadfast that when he speaks a word out of his mouth, he knows that the moment it comes out of his mouth, it becomes eternal, and he is choosing in speaking it to abide by it forever. So he's not like man that he should lie. Let this get into you tonight. I see people's stories changing. So God's character is steadfast, and you place your faith in his character. Now let's relate this to normal life. If somebody tells you that they're going to do something, you'll believe them to the degree that you believe in the reputation of the person. So you believe somebody's words to the degree that you believe their character. So this is why you have to know God as a person and have a relationship with him and believe and know his character. You have to believe that God is before you can receive from God's word. But you see, God's character is reliable. God is faithful. And because he's faithful, his word is faithful. So you place your faith in people that they're going to do something based upon their word and upon their character. Same thing with God. You believe God, and you believe the covenant that you've made with him based upon his character and based upon his word. But let's go back. So that's the foundation. But then what is faith? Faith is a product of the word of God and the spirit of God working in you. So faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. Where does hope come from? Hope comes from the word of God. So the word of God produces in you hope for what you can have or what you can do in this life. But then faith is the materialization in the spirit of the hope of the word of God. Once hope has arrived, then faith can produce substance. So faith is a substance just as much as matter is a substance in the natural. And until the substance of faith exists in your spirit, testimonies can't show up. The Bible says that you prophesy according to your faith, which means in prophecy is an utterance, which means that a spiritual utterance of the gift of prophecy can't take place until the substance of faith is there for it to come forth out of. So you, in order to have the substance of faith, you have to feed your spirit with the word of God. And you have to then hear the word of God by the Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Bible says that the entrance of the word of God brings light. It doesn't say that the hearing of the word of God produces light, or the study, or the sight of it. It's the entrance. So the entrance of the word, the entrance of the word into the human spirit brings light. So the Holy Spirit takes the word, reveals it to you, gets it to be just from being a seed in the soil of your heart to come into life in your heart, entering into your spirit and becoming light. That's why Ephesians 1 talks about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he says, I pray that for you that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come upon you, that the eyes of your understanding would be flooded with light. Flooded with light. That you could see new things. That you could hear the word of God. And once you see it in the spirit, then you can have it. You have to see in the spirit something for you to be able to have it. Faith sees. So the Holy Spirit takes the seed of the Word of God, brings it to life in your spirit, and produces a substance. He turns that seed into a substance in the spiritual realm. And that substance is faith. So when you know that you have what you believe from the Word in your spirit, then testimonies will break forth easily. It'll be easy testimonies. No more struggling, no more striving, No more straining, but easy victories that you walk right into. Hallelujah. So faith is a spiritual substance. And then faith is evidence. When faith is there, you found evidence in the spirit of the thing that you believe for. That's why you have to see it in the spirit. The eyes of your understanding being flooded with light. You have to first find it in the spirit and receive it in the spirit before it will materialize in the natural. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that what was seen is not made of what is visible. So it's saying that faith shows you, when you operate in faith, you'll eventually see the fact that the worlds were framed by the word, which means that the word was the law of the world, that God released his word, and that word was the foundational piece that framed all the worlds upon it. That it is the underlying principle or law of the spiritual realm and the natural realm. Faith sees that and believes that. So when you place your faith in the word is sustaining the spirit. And the word is spiritual. So when you place your faith in the word, you're receiving something in the spiritual realm. And once you receive it and you know that you have it in the spirit, then it can materialize in the natural. This is how you receive everything from God. But until you have faith, then you're not qualified to receive anything from God. You see, faith is the way that God has destined you to operate as a Christian. The Bible says that you live by faith. So everything you live, you got saved and came to life in the Spirit by faith. Hallelujah. By faith, it says by grace you've been saved through faith. So faith accessed the grace or the power of God in the Holy Spirit to enter into you and pull out the old heart, put in a new heart, and bring you back to life by the Zoe life of God in the spirit of life, to resurrect your dead spirit to life. So faith entered you into that, but then faith sustains that. You live your whole Christian life by faith. What a shame that faith isn't preached or taught anywhere in most Christian churches. Faith is the master key. Faith is the victory. Faith accesses the victory. Faith, everything in the kingdom is accessed by faith. The Holy Spirit's accessed by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 2. For by it, talking of faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So the saints of old received testimonies that they could talk about by their faith. This means that if your faith isn't producing testimonies, then it's a fake faith. Any knowledge and any faith that doesn't produce testimonies is a fake knowledge and a fake faith. Easy for me to say. Genuine faith always produces testimonies. There's always evidence of faith. You can't say that you have faith for something if it hasn't delivered. And this is important because it keeps you humble. You have to look yourself in the mirror and say, where is the level of my faith at right now? Because if you don't, you'll get yourself into trouble. And faith is not mental assent. That's another thing to talk about. Faith is not just like this mental idea. I see many people that to them, faith is the word of faith, Rhema Bible message. And it's like this like formula. Faith is a formula. And they conform to this formula. Like it's like they're working this formula, math type of thing in their head, but they haven't become it. Because faith is spiritual. It's 100% spiritual. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. I believe it's the seventh one that's listed of the nine fruits of the Spirit. It's the Greek word pistis. In many Bibles, it's translated faithfulness, but it's really faith. Faith is spiritual. It's something that you become. It's something that you get in you, and it's something that you live out of. You operate in it. It becomes who you are. It's not a formula. It's not an intellectual formula. Like, okay, for me to receive in this situation, I must sow a seed. And when I sow the seed, 30% will come back. No. It's a spiritual way of life. It's who you become. The reason why faith is so important is because God operates by faith. Faith, the Bible says God is love. So God is love, but God uses faith. When God spoke the world into existence, he literally used his faith to speak it. And what did he do? There was a substance on the inside of him of what he wanted. And this is why the substance of faith is so important. Hallelujah. His spirit was hovering on the waters of the earth. Glory to God. The Lord's been showing me, teaching me about the substance of faith. His spirit was hovering on the waters of the earth. And so his spirit, what that was in him, because your spirit is the center of who you are. His spirit was hovering on the waters of the earth, and his spirit saw that the earth was formless and void. And it said that darkness was over the earth. And so God saw in his spirit and had a substance of what he wanted the earth to be. And he had a substance of what he wanted creation to be. But specifically at this point, the earth already existed. So he'd already created the earth. But he knew that what animals he wanted on it. He knew what fish he wanted on it. He knew what plants he wanted on the earth. He knew the seasons that he wanted the earth to go under. And he knew what he wanted man to be. And so he spoke out of the substance of faith that was in his heart, the substance of it, of what he saw, and he knew that his words would come to pass. His faith was in himself. He had faith in the word Jesus that he would send forth out of his mouth, and he had faith in the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit to produce that word and to materialize it into creation, that everything would rest upon. All of creation rests upon the power of the Word of God. But God had a substance in his heart that he'd seen by his Spirit, and his words produced it. And you see, we're created in God's image. Did you know that we're so much like God that God was able that the second person of the Godhead was able to become a man? And that man was able to be filled with the third person of the Godhead? That's how much like God you are. The Bible says that man was created a little bit lower than God, according to Psalm 8. And that he was crowned with glory and honor. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 that we're to imitate God as dear children. If you're a child of God, that means the DNA of God dwells on the inside of you. No son struggles to acquire the DNA of their father. He just has it. Naturally. He naturally has it, and he naturally operates like his father. The natural operation of the Holy Spirit flowing through you and you becoming spiritual is that you get a substance from the Word of God on the inside of you, and you naturally speak from that substance, and you naturally obey God and operate from that substance, and miracles naturally materialize out of your life. It's a natural thing for your life to become supernatural. Bless God. Receive a natural, supernatural life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So you're created in the image of God. His DNA dwells in you. What that means is the same way that God operates, you're supposed to operate. And Jesus came and modeled the life of faith. That's why he talked about all it so much, because he knew that he was restoring dominion back to mankind. He knew that he was giving man authority, that his blood would give him authority over the devil. He knew that he was going to give him the authority of his name. So he had to teach mankind how to use that name and how to use that blood. And the way that you use the name and you use the blood is through faith. And he also knew that he was going to give mankind his spirit. And the way that you operate in the gifts of the spirit is through faith. So everything in the kingdom is accessed and done and achieved by faith. So faith is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of receiving the word, believing it, and acting on it. And the Holy Spirit empowering you with revelation and with grace to get it done. The Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. That means that He's sitting there looking to see who's going to believe it. And the moment that they believe it, he'll act on it and perform it in your life. Here's another thing about faith. Faith looks for the word of God to come to pass. Faith isn't reluctant to believe the word of God. Faith is looking for miracles. Faith is looking to see God act. And that comes from believing that God is who he says he is. Because the Bible says that God's a good God. So God's looking to get you miracles. He's looking to get you healing. The Lord told me today that faith has an abundance mentality when it comes to miracles. You know, when God answers prayer, he sends an angel to get it done. He sends angels to pour out oil upon people that get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He sends angels to pour out the fire of God on people when they're baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And he sends angels to heal people whenever they need healing. He sends angels to go bring in the harvest, to cause money to come in for people. And there's billions of angels. That means that you're healing, that there's billions of opportunities for your healing to get to you on the earth right now. All it takes is for your faith to qualify you for a miracle. For your faith in God and in the covenant of God and in the word of God to qualify you to receive a miracle. Be qualified to receive a miracle today. I see you receiving miracles right now. I see the word of God getting into your heart right now. I see the healing power of God stretching down out of heaven and touching you right now. Shobro kobra kabro son bakate. E shobro soba kalebe anama. Receive the word of God. Receive healing. Receive a miracle in your body. Receive the power of God out of heaven right now, flooding your room, touching you. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Receive a prayer language and praying in tongues. Receive a breakthrough and a victory right now. So faith is important. You can't accomplish your destiny without it. The Bible says that these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why is love the greatest? Because love's the motivation, and love is actually the limiter of your faith. Because the Bible says that faith works by love. God is love, but he uses faith. Faith is how God operates. Love is how God is God's character and motivation. So if you're going to place your faith in the character of God, part of that means you're placing your faith in the love and the goodness of God. But faith is important for many reasons. First off, faith is an overcoming force that gives you the victory over all of the power of sin and of the devil. Faith is an overcoming spiritual force. The moment you get in faith, There's a force in the spirit that resists and overcomes the force in the spirit of sin and the force in the spirit of the devil. The devil has spiritual power that also materializes as natural power. And sin has spiritual power. Both of them are a spiritual curse. But the blood of Jesus has much more power. So faith in the things of God loose an overcoming force over all of the power of the devil and over all of the power of sin. And faith accesses the weapons of the kingdom. There are many things in the kingdom that have power, that are given to you to give you power. Many. One of them is the authority of the name of Jesus. Another one is the blood of Jesus. We already talked about a lot of these. Another one is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. Another one's the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the anointing breaks the yoke and it destroys the heavy burden. The Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he's still doing that today. So faith accesses the weapons of the kingdom. Faith is how you live, walk, and function. You can't even do business in the spirit without faith. Faith is a currency. Just like money does business in the natural realm, faith does business in the spiritual realm. Faith is the operation of the spirit. And then also, faith is your defense against the devil. The Bible says this, that you take up the shield of faith, that faith is a shield that quenches all of the fiery darts of the evil one, talking about the devil. So the devil is launching fiery darts at you, and your faith is a shield that quenches them. What are those darts? The main one is fear. The main dart of the devil against you is fear, because fear and faith cannot coexist. Fear and faith are direct opposites in the spirit. So when you carry faith and you carry a spirit of faith, the spirit of faith that you carry, empowered by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, overcomes the spirit of fear. This is why the Bible says that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God's given you a spirit that contains power and contains love and contains a sound mind, and there's no fear in that spirit. Talking about your spirit, your recreated spirit. Your recreated spirit is created with a measure of faith. Your recreated spirit is created with the love of God in it, which means you're now able to love people just as much and just as well as God loves people. And the spirit that you've been given produces in you the mind of Christ and a sound mind. This is why the Bible says that you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the spirit of fear, your new recreated human spirit, the new creature in Christ spirit, the one that the Bible says that you have, that you're now a new creature in Christ, all the old things have passed away, everything's become new, you've been born again, you've undergone a spiritual birth, filled with the Holy Spirit, that now your spirit on the inside of you can't produce fear. According to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. That means that all fear comes from the devil from the outside against your mind. Fear is faith in what the devil will bring to your life. Fear is faith in the devil and what he can supply you with, stealing, killing, and destroying. It's faith in the devil's ability to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. So it's faith in the ministry, the threefold ministry of the devil. That's what fear is. Because when you fear, you're afraid of what could come against you. What could overtake you? It's fear in your opposition. Faith in your opposition. But faith is the opposite. Faith is belief in what God brings to you. Faith is belief in the power available. Faith is belief in the Word of God and then the Holy Spirit and the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit over the devil. It's faith that he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And it's faith that you have the victory, regardless of what dart he throws at you. They're all just ideas. You know, the devil has no power anymore over a Christian. The only power that the devil has is the power that you give him. The only power that the devil has is that he's a master trickster. That's always been his power. When he went into the Garden of Eden to tempt Eve, he wasn't even supposed to be there in the first place. So he had no authority or power to be there in the first place. The only power he had was his ability to deceive. And he's a master deceiver. In fact, he's the best deceiving agent that exists. He was so good at deception that he was able to deceive God's a third of the angels of God to follow him in rebellion against God and get kicked out of heaven. The first ever church split. And he's so good at deceiving that he deceived Eve. He's a master trickster. So the fight that you fight against the devil isn't one of power. It's one of wisdom. You cannot let the devil outwit you, and he outwits you through fear. Look at the world and the way that the world responds to these things like the pandemic or all the news and the reports of the news. It's designed to make you afraid, and when you're afraid, you can't think straight. And people are making life decisions out of fear that are ridiculous. Because of the power of fear to mess with your mind and to keep you from making the right decision. Think about all of the army of Israel was completely disarmed just by the words of a giant. Just the words of a giant made them lose complete faith in the covenant of God, and to the point where they didn't even have the strength to stand up and fight him. All because of the words of fear, the spirit of fear in his words. So the devil wants to outwit you. He wants to mess with your mind, and he wants to beat you through trickery. That's the only strategy he has, and then he gets power only if you give him power. Because you have the dominion. God's given you power over the devil, over sin, and over wicked people empowered by the devil. But that power comes from faith. Faith is the key that accesses that power. So you have to renew your mind to the spirit of faith. You have to renew your mind to victory. You have to renew your mind because he attacks, the spirit of faith works in your mind. It comes from the outside against your mind. But faith opposes that, and it overcomes all the powers of the devil and all the trickery of the devil. So faith is your defense against the devil. So how do you operate in faith to receive promises? Because faith receives everything that you need from God. Faith receives the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. Faith receives the anointing. Faith operates the anointing. Faith receives the victory. Faith receives healing. Faith receives prosperity. Faith receives guidance. Faith receives the word. Everything in the kingdom is done by faith. So how does faith work? There's three clear things that faith does. Number one, faith speaks. Faith is a speaking force. When God created Adam, it says that he became a living being. It says God breathed in his nostrils and he became a living being. But the literal translation in the Hebrew of that is Adam became a speaking spirit. So he was created just like God to be a speaking spirit that gets substance in his spirit of what he wants, speaks it, and it comes to pass. Jesus operated as a man filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he used words to materialize what he wanted. He goes to the fig tree that didn't produce figs for him. And when it didn't have figs, he cursed it and he said, "May you never bear fruit again." He had a substance of what he wanted. That tree didn't line up with the substance in his spirit of what he wanted. And so he spoke against it and then it died. Jesus operated by faith. Everything Jesus did was by faith. And he taught how faith works. And he said, if you get a substance of what you want and you see what you want and you speak it out of your mouth, everything in creation has to align with that faith. And even just faith, the substance size of a mustard seed, just that small amount of substance can literally command a mountain to move, and it will cause it to move out of your way and go into a sea. So faith is a speaking spirit. And the spirit of faith speaks. What is the spirit of faith? Go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. So the spirit of faith is a speaking force. The spirit of faith speaks. Now, what's the spirit of faith? It's not the measure of faith. There are levels of faith, and I've talked about it, and I probably talked about it the last time I talked about faith. There's no faith, there's little faith, there's great faith, and there's the spirit of faith. No faith is having no faith at all. Little faith will produce testimonies until opposition comes. And once opposition comes, then its power is upended by fear, basically. Peter walked on water, and then he got afraid of the wind and the waves. The circumstances changed. There was an opposition, produced fear, upended his faith, and then he started to sink. And Jesus said, he said he had little faith. So it's not about how great the testimony is. It's about how steadfast the faith is. Great faith, like the Syrophoenician woman, where Jesus said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. So he called her a dog, even though she was coming to receive a miracle for her daughter that was possessed of a devil. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the crumbs will eat even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, saying, I don't even need the whole piece of bread for my miracle. I only need a little crumb from the bread to bring me my miracle. And he said, daughter, you have great faith. Go back home. You'll see that your daughter is well. Great faith overcomes opposition and challenges along the way. It remains unshaken. But then there's a higher level of faith, and it's the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith is the attitude of faith. It's caught. It's something that you catch in your spirit. It's a way of life. It's the lifestyle of faith. It's the decision to live by the word regardless of what you see. It's spiritual. And spiritual things aren't taught in the mind. Spiritual things must be caught in the spirit. So it's a spiritual thing that the Holy Spirit gives you where it makes you a conqueror in life. David had the spirit of faith. He said, is there not a covenant? Is there not a cause? He believed the word of God, and it didn't matter if there was a giant there, and it didn't matter if death stared him in the face. He was going to laugh at death. Hallelujah. The spirit of faith. It's the key to victory. It's the key to miracles and testimonies. It's the key to living a life of signs and wonders. And that spirit is a speaking spirit. David didn't just go out there and fight him. He saw it and he said, who is this guy that sits up here and defies my God? And he went out and he took his head off. A conquering spirit. It's something you catch. So faith always speaks. Number two, faith obeys. Faith obeys the word of God. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. That means that it isn't really a true faith in the first place. It's a dead faith. Faith, if you believe God, you believe the word of God, you'll do what it says. There's a covenant that you have with God. It's a blood cut agreement, cut by the blood shed by Jesus. Jesus shed blood to ratify a covenant between God and between you. And God's end of the deal is very, very steadfast. All you have to do is keep your end of the deal. It's like a contract with agreement on both sides. If you don't keep your end of the contract, then the contract won't be kept by the, it won't be eligible or ratified. So obedience comes from faith in the covenant, and it is you keeping your end of the deal. That's what it is. It comes from faith. And then lastly, faith prays. Luke 18. It says he told them a parable to the end that they ought always to believe and never to lose heart. And then it talks about this woman trying to bring her case before a judge. And then finally she brought it to the judge so many times that the judge gave her the petition. And it says the same way, God, who's a righteous judge, won't leave his children long without getting their answer. And then it says this. It says, now when the Son of Man comes and returns, will he find faith on the earth? Saying, alluding to the fact that in the last days it'll be tough for people to have faith. And you see why. Because fear is pumped through every platform of your life. Through the news and through social media and through everybody around you. The spirit of fear attacks people. And you have to catch the spirit of faith to succeed in this time. And that spirit of faith is getting into you tonight. I see you catching a spirit of faith. I see you living a life of testimonies. I see miracles springing forth in your life. I see healing getting into your body right now. I see the word of God producing fruit out of your life. I see the Holy Spirit and the anointing falling upon you. And you catching something through this. Catch this into your spirit. Don't let this just end in your mind. Catch this into your heart. Because it'll make you a conqueror in this life. It'll give you a life of victory. Faith is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith gives you overcoming power over all the power in the world, that no man will ever be able to stand before you all the days of your life. There's not a person that can overcome a man of God or a woman of God that's filled with the spirit of faith. No man can stand up against you. They'll be attacking God if they do so. Goliath didn't stand a single chance standing up against David, regardless of what it looked like in the natural. David could have slung that stone 100 yards to the right, and the Holy Ghost would have brought it all the way back. An angel would have snatched it and course directed it directly into his forehead. The covenant would not allow him to fail, and it's the same thing for you today. It is impossible for a man or a woman of God to fail whenever he puts his faith in a living God. Hallelujah. That victory is coming into your life right now. Right now, if you need a miracle and you believe God, then God will give it to you right now. Raise your hands right now. There's a woman watching the broadcast tonight that you need healing in your body. I'm waiting to see if the Lord will tell me what it is that you need healing of. But you need healing in your body. And you're watching this, and you've gotten faith in your heart for your healing. The Bible says that by his stripes, you were healed. That in Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So right now, raise your hands. And as you do, the power of God's going to come upon you. The presence of the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing will fall upon you. And your healing, there it is right now. Kobo sho brakabro soto. Shove ana mokobro sondabaho. Shele ana meheke ana mokobro sondabashakabro. Obo sho brakabro sonde yana mashakate. Ke amo hokobro kombe yana meheki yana na. Ove yana mohokobro kiyana mahande hete. There are people tonight that are catching the spirit of faith. You'll never be the same. The spirit of faith is different than just faith that comes from the word. The spirit of faith is empowered by the Holy Ghost. And it produces in you this attitude of victory. It's an overcoming spirit. And when you catch it, it will propel you down a path of the supernatural. Faith accesses the supernatural. And the spirit of faith propels you down this miracle-working path. It sucks you down this path of signs and wonders that God wants to do through your life. And it keeps you on the path. Ke amo sho brakabro. Ke le anamo soto. If you need a miracle right now, you can just reach out and receive it. The anointing's here. I don't even need to lay hands on you. You can receive it right now. If you need healing in your body right now, receive it from God. If you need deliverance, receive it right now. Father, I loose angels of healing and angels of deliverance and the anointing for healing and deliverance. I loose that on anybody watching right now that has faith. Anybody that has faith, that's qualified for a miracle by their faith, I loose that miracle on them in the name of Jesus. There it is. Cabo sho bracabro. There's also somebody watching that's never prayed in tongues before. I'm not saying that's a word of knowledge, but because there are many people that haven't prayed in tongues before. It's very generic. But I do feel like there's somebody that's never prayed in tongues. Right now, raise your hands. And as you do, the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit will fall upon you right now. There it is. It's bubbling up out of your spirit. Let it come out. Let it bubble up out of your belly. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, welling up to eternal life. And it says this he spoke of the Spirit. And then when Jesus left, he was glorified in heaven. The Holy Spirit fell down out of heaven and fell upon their heads like cloven tongues of fire. So like a fire that sat upon your head. And it says they all began to speak in other tongues and to prophesy. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit is the key. It looses the power of God upon you. It's the anointing of God upon you. And it's evidenced by speaking in tongues. And that speaking in tongues and that prayer language is the Holy Spirit praying through you, and it gives you power to pray the perfect will of God, so that anything that you need from God, you can just yield to the Holy Spirit and let him pray in tongues through you. You choose to pray in tongues, but it's something that you get to do by your own will. That's why it's not a gift of the Holy Spirit, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are done by the will of the Holy Spirit. But there is a gift from the Holy Spirit permanently, and it's the gift of a prayer language of tongues. And when you pray in that prayer language, you're praying the perfect will of God. And it's actually the entrance into the supernatural. So receive that right now. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. There it is. Somebody's receiving that. Glory to God. It's like an explosion took place over here. Oho shokia maha kiabro sokoba taikara. E alo bokom brakandiana mehe kiabro sokodaba. Hallelujah. people got touched tonight. I feel it. If you got a miracle and you feel in your body that your body's different, then I want you to comment right now in the comment section and let me know. Let me know if you received a miracle. Let me know if somebody comments. Or if you got deliverance in your mind. Because I prayed for people to get delivered. Delivered from the power of a demon that's affecting your mind or affecting your body. Let me know in the comments. Or maybe it's for somebody watching later on. Hallelujah. What a good night. Thank you for everybody that hops on. If you need to receive Jesus, if you don't know for sure if you're going to heaven or not, and you want to receive Jesus and be forgiven of your sins so you know that you're going to heaven, then pray this after me right now. Say, Father, today I choose to give my life to Jesus. Cleanse me of my sins. I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me power to live holy and in right standing with you. Today I choose to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, you're saved, you're going to heaven, you're forgiven of all your sins, and it's the start of a new life with God. Comment, if you received that and you prayed that, comment, I want to know, so that we could pray for you. No, man, I don't even want to stop. I could feel the presence of God. Feel the power of God. You don't ever want to rush out of the anointing. When the Holy Spirit's there, that means you're supposed to be there. Alrighty. Before we get off the broadcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about the blessing of Abraham. So Galatians 3 verse 13 says this. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, what is the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham is in Genesis, and a blessing is God's empowerment to prosper. So God, when God blesses somebody, he looses grace upon them, which is an empowerment for them to prosper. Prosperity is success, but prosperity in particular is producing material wealth. John 3:2 says, Beloved, I desire above all else that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So it's a desire of God for you to be in good health and for you to be prosperous. And there's a blessing available for you to do that. And that blessing is the blessing of Abraham. And it's an anointing. There's an anointing for prosperity. And that anointing falls upon you via two ways. First, obviously, you have to have faith. But faith alone can't produce a harvest. Faith alone can't produce the anointing for prosperity. The anointing for prosperity, God looses it on people after they sow seed into the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible talks about, first, you have to be a tither. If you don't tithe, you're not qualified for the covenant with God that produces the your storehouse is being filled. It says, return to God the tithe. So the tithe isn't even man's. The tithe is holy and it's God's. It's 10% of all of the revenue that comes into your life. But then God says this. He says that you've robbed me of the tithes and the offerings. which means that there's offerings that belong to God too. And so God will put his finger upon offerings and upon seeds in your life that God says belong to me, so that I can loose a blessing upon you, so that that will multiply and fulfill your assignment. So God, Jesse DePlantis says that when God gives you money, then when you receive income, that there's the tithe, and then there's the seed, and then there's the bread. So the tithe belongs to God, but then there's seed, things in your income that are from God, God determined, that are to be sown into the kingdom of God to produce your future harvest. So God's got your best in mind. He's trying to get to you a harvest. Whenever he allocates seed, you know in your spirit what's the seed and where it's to be sown. And whenever he puts his finger on it, he only does that because there's a harvest he has in mind. There's some type of exponential 30, 60, and 100-fold return of a harvest that he has for you. But the harvest can only be received if there's seed in the ground. Seed springs up, first the blade, then the ear, then the corn on the ear, and then the harvest comes. So the Bible says that Isaac sowed in a famine and he reaped 100-fold. So if you sow in a famine, you're either a lunatic or you have faith in God. And Isaac had faith in God. And because he loosed the seed whenever God told him to, regardless of the circumstances in the natural, then he received a harvest of 100-fold. Now, the blessing of Abraham is available to you in Christ, and that's the empowerment that comes from God. That's the blessing that all the Israelites walk in. That's the blessing that in it produces financial prosperity. Abraham went from being a single man to having 314, I think, trained servants, which, think about 314 people that get paid $30,000, $40,000 a year, equates to about an eight-figure payroll. So his household, just the payroll of his household was eight figures. So he went from being a single man to having an eight-figure payroll of a household, and he was the size of a nation. His family alone, nations would lose in battles to his family. That'd be like the people of Zimbabwe losing in a war against you. So you see, the blessing of God's no joke. But to do that, you have to be a sower and a giver. Now, not every offering is God telling you to give. You don't give reluctantly or under compulsion. You give whenever God identifies that there's seed for you to sow. But I want to give you an opportunity where if you feel like God's pointing out the seed for you to sow, I want you to be able to sow that seed so that you could receive a harvest. No minister should take an offering without helping people understand and get faith for giving, and then giving them an opportunity to partake of God's economy. So that's what this is. This isn't, I don't need an offering. God supplies all my needs. God commissioned me into this ministry, which means God's my supplier. So if anybody that gives into this ministry quits giving into the ministry isn't going to end because God's the one that empowered it. And it has nothing to do with me. I'm just the one that he chose to give the ministry to. I'm just being faithful to God. But if you would like to give, then here's the ways in which you can give. There's info at thevictorylifeministries.com, which is Zelle. You can give via Cash App, $VLGive, or you can give by mailing in a check to P.O. Box 998, Decatur, Texas, 76234. And then if you go to our website, thevictorylifeministries.com, and you click Give Now, you can pay via PayPal or a card that way, or maybe even like direct bank transfer, I think. Now I'm going to pray for you and ask that God blesses the seed that you sow. Father, I bless every seed that comes out of the people's hands. I ask that you multiply it back 30, 60, and 100-fold, and not just that, but loose and give them the wisdom and the ideas necessary. I loose divine business ideas into the hearts and the minds of the people watching, through which they'll receive a supernatural harvest. I pray that financial destinies would be unlocked through this offering. I pray in Jesus' name that by the power of the Holy Spirit that there would be an anointing that falls from heaven upon the people that give tonight, and that tonight would be a night of financial destinies being unlocked. I bind and cast out any spirit of fear associated with the times, or any spirit of mammon that tries to get people locked into the economy of this world and afraid because of the circumstances of this world. And Father, let an offering of faith produce a mighty, mighty anointing for financial prosperity and a mighty, mighty harvest. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Without the Holy Ghost, what would we do? The Lord is good. Well, I love you. I'm thankful for everybody that hopped on. I hope this blessed you tonight. Let me know if you have a miracle testimony. I know there will be a couple of them through this broadcast. They might just come from people that watch it later. I hope this blessed you tonight. I'm thankful for all of our partners. Thank you for everybody that partners with this ministry. Right now, we're going from campus to campus, winning souls and busting up things in the spirit in that campus that keep revivals from happening. We recently did one at UNT, 108 salvations, and it was the first time in a decade that a Christian event of that size took place. And not only did it take place, but it took place in the very center of campus. It was like a large middle finger to the devil, basically, telling the devil to screw off and get out of there. And we're doing that at every single college campus. And eventually, very soon, it'll be in different nations of the world. So this is a soul-winning ministry. It's a ministry with good soil. And so if you want to partner with the ministry monthly, if you want to become a monthly partner, or you just want to give a one-time seed, we gave the ways to give. But if you go online, there's a way to partner monthly with the ministry. As we go and begin what's going to be an international ministry. This is the ground floor of it. And we're already off to a great start. But I'm thankful for the Lord for the commission of this ministry. And I'm thankful just for everybody that partners with it. Anybody that partners with a ministry, they receive the blessing that's on the ministry. And this is an international ministry that's winning souls not only in America, but in different countries in the world. So that's where we're going. But I love you. Thank you for everybody that hopped on. I hope tonight blessed you. We'll be on next Monday at 7 o'clock. Monday night at 7, Tuesday night at 7. And thank you for hopping on tonight. I love you. I'll see you next week, and have a good night.